Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan.
You're watching Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. The Center to Combat Corruption and Cronyism recently launched a report titled Foundations and Donations, Political Financing, Corruption and the Pursuit of Power. In the report, it explored political funding through donations in Malaysian politics. It also explored the various methods in which politicians exerted control over foundations, or yayasans as we know it here in Malaysia, and it also raised questions about the nexus between policies and selective patronage. So in the report, it had case studies involving prominent politicians, among which Najib Razak, Zaid Hamidi and Tengku Adnan. So let's discuss this report. Joining us on the show tonight, we have from the C4 Centre, its Executive Director, Cynthia Gabriel, as well as Terence Gomez, Professor at the Economics and Administration Faculty of University Malaya. Welcome to the show. It's good to have you here. Now, I would like to begin by asking Cynthia, you a little bit about the genesis of the project, how C4 came to be involved in it and how it relates to other C4 projects.
Well, thank you very much for reviewing this report on Consider This. We started actually very much in early 2020, so it's been a long time research. But what actually inspired us was the details that were popping up at all the trials, the corruption trials that started to take place post GE14. And it appeared that it wasn't just about 1MDB anymore. It was not just Najib Razak's trials. It was Zahid Hamidi's trials, for example. And that one was one of the more pertinent ones, that yayasans were actually being used and abused. And we're talking about religious foundations. And that kind of like woke us up that, hey, it wasn't just about government-linked companies anymore, which we knew were already really widely abused for political financing, and something that Professor Terence has been working on for a long time. But it was also about Tengku Adnan and how he was, for example, the chairman of Yayasan Wilayah Persekutuan. He was bringing in his companies, he was using the yayasans to move money in really sophisticated ways. It certainly wasn't what it was set out to do. But the manipulation was what we wanted to document. So that was how we started to do something simple, actually, just document the testimonies that were being spoken about. Right. It wasn't about us fabricating info or exaggerating anything. It was real-time testimonies that were being brought to court.
Terence, could you jump in here? I mean, Cynthia's already made a mention of your previous work and, you know, looking at the nexus of political parties and business and all these very interesting dimensions of how politics and power and influence operates in Malaysia. Were you surprised by anything? Were you surprised by the revelations at the trial? And are these largely just the same patterns being played out with different types of relationships, institutional relationships?
The patterns were similar. The nexus between politics and business clearly came true in the trial. But what was rather astonishing was the prominence of foundations. Now, what we have not discussed in the literature on politics and business, and that's a huge literature, is the role of foundations. So when this project started, I told them when they were doing this project, they were looking at corruption and they were looking at the flow of money. They were looking at the different ways in which money flows into the political system. I said, let's focus only on one thing, foundations. It is there in the open space. We see it every day. Mm. We talk about it. It was mentioned during the trials. But nobody drew attention to the fact that this was another institution where this dark money flows into the political system.
Right.
So we already studied the GLCs. We knew that GLCs were a shadow world. The shadow market had been created where dark money that flows through the GLCs into the political system. But we were kept in the shade still about foundations.
So I like what Cynthia said, you know, that you discovered it wasn't just about, the court testimonies pointed out that it wasn't just about state-owned companies. It was now moving on to foundations. And I'm wondering, Terence, maybe you can elaborate a little bit. Why foundations? What is it about foundations that allow for this? Is it lack of transparency? It's private ownership? What is it about foundations and yayasans?
That's the main point, Melissa, lack of transparency.
Okay.
We see it, but we don't realize how it's a tool of politicians. And this is what the politicians liked about the foundations, that they could get different kinds of institutions. By that I mean the GLCs, the government-linked companies like PNB, Khazana. They could even get businessmen to transfer money into these foundations, and there would be no questions asked about it because they are not there in the public domain. So this is what we wanted to highlight. Politicians and political parties have foundations too. That's another tool for political financing, and nobody talks about it. And there's no need for disclosure about these things. So this is what the trial exposed, that a huge volume of money, stupendous amounts of money, were being channeled from the private sector and from the GLCs and from influential businessmen into the political system through these foundations. And no politician, even though the court case was going on, no politician raised the red flag and said, we have to do something about this. Yeah, all of them kept quiet.
Well, would that be expected in many ways, just because political parties, especially those that were historically in opposition, would have to find sources of funding, right? And so they would be going, and perhaps much of this is would have been an open secret. I mean, everybody has to know in order for the system to work in some fashion, isn't it? I mean, Cynthia, you've been involved and, you know, you mix around with politicians. Isn't there a lot of wink, wink, nudge, nudge? I mean, you know them, right? So in the sense that, you know, if you, it's like in any ecosystem in life world, if you go and you meet people, they tell you how things operate.
Well, let's set things straight first. I think it is a common fact. It is something that we all understand, that politicians need to find money to run their political parties and the political party activities. So that's a given. Now, it's how they find the money. And it's very, very important to actually establish sources of funds and how that money is actually utilized.
Right.
So here is the element of transparency, which is completely lacking in our country because we don't have a political financing act. We don't have an asset declaration law, although during Pakatan's time, they tried to introduce a policy which was only halfway there. And most importantly, we don't have institutions which are independent enough to scrutinize the lack of check and balance.
Well, I want to come to the issue of reforms a little bit later in the conversation, but coming back to what the funds are being utilized for. You mentioned earlier that yayasans and foundations are often set up under a religious banner, right? How do we know that money or donations given to yayasans and foundations are being used for political purposes? Could it be that, you know, it's used for the well-being of that particular politician's constituency, and for, you know, we have several yayasans that have aims, stated goals as to, you know, alleviate poverty and to help the underprivileged. How do we know those funds are being misused and therefore can be categorized as corruption?
Okay, well, for most of these yayasans that we studied, they are either registered as companies or societies. Of course, there were some that we were quite startled that they were registered as neither and were still receiving millions of funds. So there is a need to have stricter enforcement in that regard. But as far as the utilization of the funds are concerned, there was one case study, when you look at the report, that the religious foundation, or the foundation that was actually set up to carry out social and religious work, was actually then targeted at the constituencies of these two politicians. Not your constituency or where I vote, etc., but only towards these two. So then the question is, how come? And whether that would be something to scrutinize further and to question. So is a matter of investigation to actually see whether they were being completely transparent when they submit their report to the ROS and all that, or was it just halfway through because they were set up for a particular purpose, but eventually some of the money got divested into personal interests or for political party interests. So I think we wanted to catch and document that whole scenario, which is completely grey. Mm.
Right. Terence, I understand that Lalita Kunaratnam was one of your collaborators. Was it difficult to find the data, the money trail? Is it available? Do we have legislation, is it like Freedom of Information Act, that enables us to do or enabled you to do the kind of work that you're doing in this particular research?
It was extremely difficult. In fact, when we launched the report, I stated clearly this is only the tip of the iceberg. And if you read the report, you will see that we already listed a whole range of foundations which are being used by politicians. To get detailed information on these foundations, we found there was, as Melissa said earlier, there's little transparency and there's little need for them to even disclose where the money is coming from. But I would like to touch on a point that Melissa raised to Cynthia about where does the money go. This is why politicians love the foundations. When the money comes in, one, as Cynthia said, it goes for their constituency work. But it also goes into the larger picture of the politics of patronage. Now, in UMNO, for example, and we saw a lot of this in UMNO, if you want to consolidate your position in the party, you need to practice patronage. So how do you practice patronage? You channel money into the hands of the grassroots. Now, what this foundation has done is why these foundations have flourished is precisely because the way politics of money has also mushroomed in this country.
Yeah, but Terence, I want to ask you, this is a very quick follow-up. It's very clear what politicians want this money for, but the people giving money to the politicians, yes, what do they want in return? I think it sounds like a very basic question, but yes, really, what do they want?
This is where the quid pro quo comes in. When a businessman gives a particular fund to a particular foundation, it is very clear from the reports too. If you look at the case of Zahid, when they gave that money to that foundation, they were expecting the government to give them a contract. This is where the quid pro quo comes in. We have also got prominent foundations in the sense that they are controlled by very powerful business people. They also give money to these foundations. Why? Because these foundations are owned by businessmen who have secured enormous rents from the government too. Now, all this is not seen. So when I give a particular funding to a foundation, we don't know what the quid pro quo is all about.
Right.
I may be exempted from taxes, for example. You know, they may not have capital gains tax for all the profits I'm making. And yet, if I give a portion of that to the foundations, which goes into the political system, it's no loss to me. I still save a lot of money. So there are these larger issues about policies that come into play. And that's what we can't get to the heart of the matter too, because we don't know who are these people who are giving all this money to these politicians. What is the quid pro quo involved?
But also, that seems to me to be almost impossible to document. How would you document what you get in return? You can document a donation on paper,
yes,
but what do you get back in return is something that's almost impossible to track, I would imagine, unless you had court testimony, which we had in the case, yes, of Zahir Hamidi.
It only comes out when a particular person blabs or if you're charged in court. So if there's a relationship between me and Cynthia, I'm the businessman, Cynthia is the politician owning the foundation, no one will know what's happening here between the two of us,
right,
unless there's a fallout. And then I decide, or she decides to turn me in, or if there is some event that brings this to the fore. In Malaysia, we had that event. That event was the change of government, the fall of the Barisan Nasional. And then they charged them in court. And when they charged them in court, that's when it all came out, how the system actually works. And that's when we realized that there were business people giving money to these politicians who in turn gave them contracts, But what was the conduit through which the money flowed into their hands? The foundations. We didn't know about all this.
Right. So, Cynthia, I want to ask you, I mean, are there any good guys in this story? Because it seems that this mechanism would be good for all political parties. Anyone exempt? Are there any saints in our political system? Are they all in some way implicated in this particular kind of mechanism?
Well, I think the mechanism for political financing involves all political parties. There are very few who still go for the traditional fundraising, political party dinners and so on. But what's happening behind the scenes and who these business people actually want to return to power is what and where the bulk of the money is actually given to a political party. So it's a phenomenon that every political party needs to raise money, but there are some who are more influential and powerful. And I think it's very important to state that businesses just want to do business. Right. They want to profit, and they will work with any government of the day. So we have also seen in our study that with the shift of government in 2018, many of the businesses had shifted from their traditional allies to the new friends in power. So it all depends on who's in political power in order to allow for licenses, permits, building awards and contracts to be approved.
Okay, all right, we're going to continue this conversation, but we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back here on Consider This. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned.